Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mr. President, you're driving us crazy.
With all this mess, the radio is the only thing that's really working good.
Stop spending!
Welcome to the dawn of a new unified Republican government.
They can run the okey-doke on you, bamboozle you.
We are not enemies, but friends.
So we finally have this God that's gonna come down and help us all.
Now, Mark Reardon.
You just referred to Trump as a God.
Yeah.
On KMOX.
It's go time. It's go time time. It's go, no go, lock and load, love him and leave him, smoke him if you got him, see him when I see it, because it's time for Mark Reardon time.
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
All right, let's get rolling here for a Wednesday edition of the program. And I have to start with something that I heard right here on KMOX this morning. I was driving my daughter to daycare, and I heard a news story, not unlike one of the news stories that Carol just did. And this is the chant that I heard from the protesters last night.
How many kids did you kill today? St. Louis PD! How many kids did you kill today?
How many kids did you kill today? St. Louis PD, KKK. Now, there's a lot of stupid things that have been going on with these protesters and the terrorists. But let's see, this is where it would probably be appropriate for, if we had a true leader as a mayor in the city of St. Louis, to stand up and say, you know what, that's nonsense. Here's the problem with much of the protesting. And I don't know how you can ever communicate this, because everyone on that side is so tone deaf to the facts. I remember a couple of weeks ago being lectured by the mayor about how social injustice and economic injustice and white privilege was just a fact. And if you don't think it's a fact, then she doesn't want anything to do with you. Well, here's some additional facts for people. When you hear something like this,
how many kids did you kill today? St. Louis PD.
I know the answer to that. Zero. That's how many kids the St. Louis Police Department killed yesterday or the day before. Now, you want me to start counting the number of kids that other black people have killed in the city of St. Louis? Then you have some math. Here's something that just came out yesterday. Heather McDonald writes about these things for City Journal. She's been a guest on this program. I know she's on with Charlie every once in a while. She's the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute, and she's an editor at the City Journal. The FBI report for crime came out yesterday, actually. 2 days ago, I'm sorry. It was on Tuesday. And here's some of the data. Nearly 900 additional blacks were killed in 2016 compared with 2015. This is not cop killings. These are mostly black suspects killing black people. The black homicide victim total, 7,881. Those 7,881 black bodies are 1,305 more than the number of white victims, which in the numbers that they put together includes most Hispanics for the same period. Blacks are only 13% of the nation's population. Think about how off-kilter those numbers are. 7,800 murdered, 1,300 more than the number of white victims. Here's what we hear. Remember a few years ago after Ferguson, well, there's white-on-white crime too. 13% of the population, African-Americans. This is where you have to ask yourself, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't be chanting things like this.
How many kids did you kill today? St. Louis PD.
You know, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with the protesters and anyone who feels the same way as the protesters. As soon as you agree to sit down and listen to some of the facts in here and stop chanting ridiculous things like that, then I'll offer up a little bit of time to listen to your side of the equation when it comes to social injustice and all these other things. Because you completely discredit yourself in the same way that Colin Kaepernick completely discredits himself when he starts complaining and whining and kneeling down on the sideline because of injustice in this particular country when he ignores the injustices committed by Fidel Castro. You wore a Che Guevara shirt and a Fidel Castro shirt. There's no credibility there. So how are we supposed to have a conversation? And by the way, the protesters, they scream things like that. Here's another one. This one makes no sense at all. Been all right if it said no justice, no Cubs baseball. But they're just saying no baseball. And they did this at the Galleria with, they're targeting businesses and anyone who's successful is the target of this because cops are killing black kids in the city of St. Louis. So here's the numbers, by the way, for your reference. In 2016, the police fatally shot 233 black people. Now keep in mind, the vast majority were armed and dangerous. And this is according to the Washington Post, not exactly a conservative publication. The Post categorized only 16 black male victims of police shootings as unarmed. 16. In that classification, mass assaults against officers and violent resistance to arrest. So you don't even know in those particular cases what happened. Mike Brown was unarmed, right? But he reached for a gun inside a police car and he charged a police officer. He'd be in those numbers. Contrary to the Black Lives Matter narrative, police have much more to fear from black males than black males have to fear from police. Well, people don't want to hear that. Lyda Crewson doesn't want to hear that. The Board of Aldermen doesn't want to hear that in the city of St. Louis. I have confidence that most people listening right now, they understand this. They get it. For those of you who don't, I can't help you. If you think that that stupid chant that the protesters were screaming last night has any amount of credibility, I give up. I've given up on a lot of these things right now. Black males have made up 42% of all cop killers over the last decade, although they're only 6% of the population. In 2015, a police officer was 18.5 times more likely to be killed by a black male that an unarmed black male was to be killed by a police officer. Heather McDonald, I'll put this one. Hey, Dave, let's put this one up at KMOX.com/Mark, this piece. Heather McDonald, hard data, hollow protests. This goes to everything going on here in St. Louis and also the NFL protests. And we'll revisit some of that here a little bit later. I'll tell you what was really interesting last night was Ray Lewis on Inside the NFL. Now, I've had some issues with Ray Lewis over the past years because of his involvement in murders. But it was really captivating television, and I have some of the audio from that coming up. All right, couple of programming notes. We got the roundtable coming up on Friday. We skipped last week because I was off. Jane Duker, St. Louis Alderman Scott Ogilvie, Post-Dispatch columnist Joe Holloman here on Friday. A lot of politics to talk. The new tax reform plan is out. I still have some questions about that. We're going to ask them to a member of the House Ways and Means Committee, Jason Smith, congressman from Missouri. Josh Krossauer, political editor for the National Journal, touch on the Roy Moore victory in Alabama, the health care plan going bust, the future of whatever might happen there, tax reform and Trump with the NFL. Josh will join me here in a couple of minutes, and I do have some questions, and we'll take some calls this afternoon as well. We're off and running here for a Wednesday edition of the show on KMOX. Ah, a little U2 for you here on a Wednesday afternoon. Remember when they were going to, play here in St. Louis and do a concert that got canceled because of protesters? 223, Josh Krossauer with me from Washington. He's our go-to guy. Talk about a bunch of different issues this afternoon. He's the political editor for the National Journal, and he's a big Washington Nationals baseball fan. How are you, Josh?
Very good. We're waiting to go to the postseason. Bryce Harper was back yesterday, so good times here in Washington.
We still have a shot. We're not out yet, for the wild card. 2.5 out.
Mark, this feels like one of the most anticlimactic final weeks of the baseball season, except for the Cardinals and the Brewers and that wild card. It's pretty much all the divisional races are done.
Yeah, but I think that's still kind of fun. I thought there was an American League wild card that was still up for grabs, no?
Twins, yeah. It's pretty much settled, I think, in all the other spots.
All right, so let's talk. I don't even know where to start here. You want to start with what happened with health care reform? Here's my question. Look, everybody knew this thing was going to pass. Why the hell did they bring it forward?
Well, I don't know if they didn't, if they thought it was guaranteed to fail. And this Graham Cassidy legislation had the idea of diverting funds to the states, and the Federalist type type of policy. And once Democrats mobilized and Jimmy Kimmel gave his monologue on television, the pressure just was too much for Republicans to bear. I mean, the problem with health care, though, is the same as it's always been. When you're taking away benefits, when people could lose benefits, could lose money for their health insurance, you're going to have a widespread opposition. And Republicans were never on board. You always had Republican voters that didn't even understand what was in these different bills, and they weren't very supportive of all these different pieces of legislation.
I'd be careful, though. You know, I know Jimmy Kimmel wants to claim credit for this. I don't know that the opposition from the Senate Republicans who said they'd vote no would not have happened otherwise. I think it still would have happened, even without Kimmel's monologue. But that obviously put a lot of focus on the issue.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, it's also the base was energized on the Democratic side and the Republicans weren't energized at all. And a lot of the Trump voters in blue collar areas that actually saw their Medicaid expanded didn't really feel enthusiastic about supporting even a legislation that Trump himself backed.
So is this dead? They say it's not dead. Is it dead?
I mean, it's not dead until Democrats take back one branch of government. It's not dead, but the odds are always going to be very challenging.
So just to let people know, and Josh is aware of this, that the president is supposed to speak on tax reform, and we're going to try to join that live here. So if it happens during our conversation, we might cut away. Let's talk about the Senate and the makeup of the Senate. That might make, before we get to the NFL and some of that other stuff, might make a nice segue here. Bob Corker from Tennessee. Moderate from Tennessee, moderate Republican, says he's going to retire, so that seat will be open. We know we have an open seat here, well, not an open seat, but Claire McCaskill is running for re-election next year. You have all these other, you know, Senate races. Then you have Roy Moore, who was not the president's pick, and he's a staunch conservative, religious conservative. I don't know how you would paint him. He wins convincingly against Trump's pick yesterday in Alabama. What does that mean?
Yeah, Roy Moore was the Tea Party, the socially conservative Tea Party, before there was a Tea Party. And what we're seeing in real time, Mark, is the evolution of the Republican Party from being the traditional Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, establishment-oriented party into a vehicle that is looking a lot more like Donald Trump. The candidates that are doing well in primaries, the candidates that are getting traction, are the ones who are more outspoken, more conservative, more negative than Trump is. And they're kind of being created in Trump's image. And Bob Corker's retirement is going to create a wide-open Senate primary in Tennessee. There's a lot of talk now about very hard-right candidates challenging senators in states like Mississippi. We're already seeing it in Arizona. So this is going to be a real challenge. Mitch McConnell was hoping to kind of stem the tide by winning in Alabama, by getting Luther Strange reelected. Instead, you're going to see a lot more of these Todd Akin types, if you will, that end up running and giving Mitch McConnell a big
headache. His name has been mentioned a few times in the national media. Can you make a case that Mitch McConnell is an effective Senate Majority Leader at all after all of this?
You know, I might be in the minority, but I actually don't think a lot of the problem. It was a horrible day for him yesterday. He lost that big Senate race in Alabama. Healthcare was dead. Healthcare repeal and replace was dead. And Bob Corker, one of his top members, ends up retiring. That said, a lot of it is, all of this stuff is outside of his control. He didn't get any support from President Trump in selling the healthcare policy. He got Trump to campaign for Luther Strange at the very end, but he didn't even give him a really effusive endorsement. I mean, the president, frankly, is a lot more responsible for these mess-ups than Mitch McConnell, but McConnell has taken the blame, and Trump savvily has, you know, essentially displaced the blame from himself and put it right on Mitch McConnell's shoulders.
I'm going to talk about tax reform this afternoon because we have Congressman Jason Smith, who's on the House Ways and Means Committee. That's the tax writing body of Congress, on the show in the 3 o'clock hour. I mentioned the president also is supposed to speak on this. I'm very pessimistic about the chances, Josh, of true tax reform, especially coming off of the debacle with health care. Is there any hope for this?
I'm fairly pessimistic as well, but I will say this is the silver lining, the fact that it's not really tax reform anymore. It's tax cuts. So they announced some details about who's going to benefit from the cuts. They haven't announced which deductions are going to be removed to get that revenue back. But it sounds like this legislation is a lot more cuts and a lot less reform.
Which I'm not a big fan of, by the way.
Government giveaways to middle-class voters in the run-up to the midterm elections. If that's what it ends up being, it's got a better chance of passage, even if it's not good for the budget.
Yeah, I just think that's disappointing. Now, I think that Congressman Smith is going to steer us in the other direction this afternoon, say that it is true reform, but I don't see true reform. I'm still waiting for some of the details, and obviously the plan just came out, so we'll see. How does this all play? Everything from this past week with the president, his speech in Alabama, and the controversy in the NFL. I mean, he's winning that battle right now publicly, isn't he?
He is. Well, I think Donald Trump is very savvy at picking an issue, a cultural issue, and being on the right side of it, but then pouring so much gasoline on the fire that people end up turning away from Trump's position and end up taking the other side of it. And if you look at those protests in the NFL, it ended up morphing from essentially what Colin Kaepernick was doing, protesting police brutality, police violence, into essentially protesting Donald Trump last Sunday. And you had Jerry Jones, you had Dan Snyder, you had almost every NFL owner standing alongside their players protesting something and kneeling for something, but it became obscured from what the original protest actually was. And there was a poll that just came out today that showed widespread majority of people disapproving of kneeling during the anthem, but even more people disapproving of how Trump handled the situation. So whatever Trump touches, it kind of goes the other direction. And it's an issue that a savvy press could exploit in a more subtle way. But when Donald Trump called NFL players sons of bitches and did it in such a divisive way, that turned a lot of people off.
He united a lot of people. He united the NFL. Josh, I'm going to let you go. By the way, on the baseball front, so if, in fact, the Cubs win the Central, which is still up for grabs technically, just technically. It's a one-game magic number. Would that be the first matchup with the Nationals?
It would be in the playoffs.
Okay, good. Well, send me a Nationals cap.
Well, you come down to Washington. We'll get you to a playoff game.
All right, we'll
root for the Nats.
I don't know about rooting for the Nats, but I think in that series I will. Thanks, Josh. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Get ready for the Cards and Cubs tonight. Amron Pregame Show 510. First pitch with Mike Shannon and John Rooney 6:08. Hear it here on your home for the best Cardinals coverage. KMOX.
All right, so I tried to go to this here live a few minutes ago, and he was talking about some other issues, but I did want to get what the president said from Indianapolis on the air on tax reform. And we're going to cover it a little bit more in depth with Congressman Smith here this afternoon in the next hour. But here's what he said when he started talking about tax reform a couple of minutes ago.
We're here today in Indiana to announce our framework to deliver historic tax relief to the American people. This is a once-in-a-generation opportunity, and I guess it's probably something I could say that I'm very good at. I've been waiting for this for a long time. We're going to cut taxes for the middle class, make the tax code simpler and more fair for everyday Americans, and we are going to bring back the jobs and wealth that have left our country, and most people thought left our country for good. We want tax reform that is pro-growth, pro-jobs, pro-worker, pro-family, and yes, tax reform that is pro-American. It's time to take care of our people, to rebuild our nation, and to fight for our great American workers. Indiana is a tremendous example of the prosperity that is unleashed when we cut taxes and set free the dreams of our citizens. This state has claimed a powerful competitive edge built on low taxes and less regulation. And are we cutting regulation?
So that's the president in Indianapolis a few minutes ago. He's still going on right now, and we'll certainly roll back any of the audio if he says something that might be particularly newsworthy. Here's what I can tell you about the plan. Look, everyone wants to know, what's the plan? What is it, have in there for me? What's my tax cut? Well, we don't really know the answer to that, and here's why. And I'll ask Congressman Smith this in the next hour. The big question for all of this, well, there have been many questions outside of the particulars about the rates, is they're going to cut the rates into three rates instead of seven right now. So it's 12%. 25%, 35%. Chuck Schumer is already out there saying, well, that's unfair because it raises the 10% rate to 12%. I think what the president's going to say and what Congress and Speaker Ryan and the members of the Ways and Means Committee are going to say, I think, because I don't have all the numbers, is look, the first rate is zero. There's actually four rates. It's zero, 12%, 25%, and 35%. And if they extend the particular income bracket that now encompasses 10% and keeps it at zero, that's going to be a bigger cut for people who don't make a lot of money. But the missing component here is, what if your rate is 12%, how much money do you have to make to get a 12% rate? Is it 50,000? Is it 75,000? Is it 100,000? Is it 125,000? Then when it comes to the 25% rate, because here's what people are going to look at. I know I'm going to look at it. It's one thing to have a specific tax rate, but with your deductions, and a lot of people legally use the tax code, as do I, if you have a 35% rate or a 37% rate currently, what's your effective rate? Is your effective rate 14%? Is it 18%? Is it 20%? So if your effective rate is 20%, if you're in a specific income bracket, but the new rate is 25%, the only deductions you get are the charitable donations and the, you know, the home interest tax credit, well, then does that mean your taxes are going to go up? Increased child tax credit in this plan, a new tax credit of $500 to help pay for care of the elderly and sick who are claimed as dependents by the taxpayer. This is a big one. It's going to double the standard deduction to $12,000 for individuals and $24,000 for families. Basically, what that does is increases the amount of income that is tax-free. So for the first $12,000 for individuals, the first $24,000 for families, which I think is going to help a lot of people. But we don't know the specifics of the breakdown of what's considered wealthy and what's not considered wealthy. The Democrats are already playing class warfare games with this. The Republicans have to do a better job of selling this. The president's in Indianapolis. Every member of Congress who thinks that this is important should be on the offensive right now, and don't let the Democrats grab control of the narrative. And they will, because they'll have the assist of the media. I don't understand, and I've never, ever been able to understand, why Democrats aren't in favor of letting the government confiscate less of our money. Well, the simple answer to that is because they want to spend our money. But Republicans are pretty good at spending our money, too. And if you're a fiscal conservative, and if this is a $5 trillion tax cut over the next 10 years, how does the money go back into the coffers? They always talk about revenue neutral. Now, I would have an answer to that. And that's, you hear it in the open of the show, at least most days, and then stop spending, right? Cut spending. They're incapable of doing that in Washington. They never really cut spending on anything. They reduce the amount of growth. So I don't know what the answer for that is, but there are fiscal conservatives, fiscal hawks out there, Rand Paul in the Senate and others. Well, Speaker Ryan's one of those. We're going to have to explain to people, if you're going to cut taxes by this amount, where are you going to make up the revenue? Again, I think most people, most common sense people would say, spend less money. Can you do that, Congress? The answer is probably not.
It's Mark Reardon now. Total Information PM starts at 4 with the information you need on KMOX.
The interim chief of police, Lawrence O'Toole, was on, well, he was on with me last week. He was on Charlie Brennan this morning. This story just came out in our local paper, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. St. Louis Mayor, Police Chief called for independent investigation into police response to protests. Just when you thought this thing couldn't get even more crazy and nonsensical. St. Louis Mayor Lyda Crewson, coddler of the protesters, and city interim police chief Larry O'Toole, also coddler of the protesters apparently, have called for a third-party investigation into the department's handling of protests over the last 2 weeks. Think about this. Think about what the priority is right now. They're holding a news conference. Well, I guess they just issued a statement in this particular case. But still, they're pledging together an investigation into complaints, but called on the U.S. attorney to conduct an independent look, as if the U.S. attorney's office has nothing better to do than to look at protesters and the terrorists who tipped over planters and broke windows and destroyed property. Everyone's upset about this kettling, whatever this kettling is, where they basically surrounded the protesters and sort of rounded them up and boxed them into a corner. Who cares? I don't care about that. What I care about is that this city, this week, once again, was rated one of the most violent cities in America. I guess we're number two right now. I think it depends on the survey, though. It's kind of like the AP and the USA Today coaches poll. There's some, well, Dave, isn't it? I'm disappointed, and here's why. We've been number one, the most violent city, and then we slipped to number two. Can't we do anything where we say number one? Then I read today, we're now number two in STDs. We were number one in STDs. We're number two in STDs. What the heck is going on here? But think about it. All joking aside, there is a violent crime problem in the city of St. Louis. Hundreds of black people are killed every year in the city of St. Louis. But the priority right now from the mayor's office and apparently the police department, one of the priorities, is to look into how the protests were handled. I mean, if the chief of police in the city of St. Louis, the interim chief, and if he wants this job, I guess he has to behave the way that the mayor wants him to. I'm guessing that's why he's not courageous enough to come forward and say, look, we don't have time for this right now. Okay, if the mayor wants to deal with that, then let the mayor deal with that. What I'm concentrating on, what my officers are concentrating on, is keeping people safe in the city of St. Louis. Now, he made the statement on my show last week, well, the city of St. Louis is safe. It's not safe. It's not safe enough. They have to do a better job. Now we're in this whole process again. When's the last time you heard any discussion about increased police salaries or resources for cops? You're not hearing that. They're wasting their time at the Board of Aldermen passing resolutions for heroin dealers. And now the mayor's office is prioritizing this. I feel like sometimes I live in an alternative universe in this city, and it's not getting better. It's just absolute lunacy. Second hour of the show coming up on KMOX. Hang in there.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.